Hello, Columbus, Chattahoochee Valley, all my friends down near the Georgia-Florida line. I hope that you guys are having a great week. Our kids started back to school this week, this Thursday. So shouts out to all of our educators, all of our teachers out there, and the people that work in the building, the lunchroom staff, the janitors, everybody. We could not do it without you guys, and we do appreciate you for taking care of our children on a daily basis, Monday through Friday, now that the season is back in turn. So we're going to make this a great school year. We're excited about everything that's going to happen this year for our children, the learning capability, taking life to the next level. That's certainly what it's all about. Also, we still got to keep in mind we're in still summertime, and so the heat has been a little outrageous lately. So just make sure that you're careful. Make sure that you also keep an umbrella around, because you never know when these pop-up showers are going to show up, and you can be walking down the sidewalk somewhere and end up drenched because you didn't take your umbrella. Because this time of year, once that afternoon heating kicks in and that moisture starts to rise, that storm is definitely coming. Certainly just keep your eyes on that. I want to shout out again to all my friends over there in Talbert and Taylor County and all my folks down in Seal, Alabama. I hope you guys are doing well. I appreciate you for listening. Thank you so much. My folks up near Shiloh, Georgia, thank you for listening well. My folks down near Omega, Georgia, down in down there by the brewery, thank you so much for listening as well. We appreciate you guys listening to Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. We're going to move forward with the show that we have for today. Recently, there was a news conference, and that news conference was called to talk about the challenges that we have currently with the Liberty Theater. Now, let's talk a little bit about the Liberty Theater, make sure you understand the perspective of everything. The Liberty Theater is one of three African-American cultural centers or theaters that exist in the state of Georgia, that still exists. However, it is the only operational one that is fully operating at the pace that it was originally designed and what it was designed for. The Douglas Theater over in Macon is no longer as fully operational as it used to be. It was once active when they had the Tubman Museum in it, but they've since built an entire separate facility for the Tubman African American Museum there in Macon. And there's one also in Athens, Georgia, but it's not operational right now at all. So this is an opportunity for us to preserve the last little bit of our culture from an arts perspective here in the state of Georgia. That's why when we hear these calls and the press conference and people asking for help, we certainly need to make sure that we answer that call. One, because it's extremely important. You know, during times of segregation, when that blacks and whites were segregated, this is where performers had to come to entertain African Americans in the city of Columbus. That was particularly around the time in which the Liberty District was alive and thriving, and there was a huge black culture there in the Liberty District area. And there has been efforts to revive the Liberty District, and I appreciate the leadership of our city officials, City Manager Isaiah Hughley, Councilwoman Mimi Woodson. That's certainly part of her district. And, with the flood abatement that has been done down there, and all of our council members, of course, but the flood abatement, they're coming in and putting in larger pipes so that when it rains, that flat area, water just don't build up and sit there. So, and also, if you look at 6th Avenue, oh, man, the amazing upgrades that they've done up and down 6th Avenue with the new lampposts, the new sidewalks, the entry to the Liberty Theater, the brick masonry out on the corners and things of that nature. So we've certainly seen an effort by the city to make this particular part of town attractive so that we can try to ignite, inspire, cultivate growth in that area. But however, we must hold on to the last piece of history that's still there from the original Liberty District that once existed, and that is, of course, the Liberty Theater. You've had many historical performers, folks that we know now in history, that helped lay the foundation for African-American music, for African-American singers, you know, and I'm sure in a little bit, Dr. Shea Anderson, who I have here with me today, you know, she can talk to us about some of those performers that came down. But I guarantee you this, that would not have been Whitney Houston or Beyonce or Rihanna or any of those other little cute girls if it had not been for some of the singers that had to come through the Liberty and set the foundation for them. We all stand on the shoulders of giants, and I said it all the time. And those giants come in different form. And those giants have seasons. And when those giants are tired and they want to sit down and, you know, or it's time for them to just take a rest, the rest of us have to make sure that we pick that up. We have to make sure that we step in with our broad shoulders and help carry forth what has been preserved for us. Because I would like for my daughter, Catherine, who's 2-year-old now, to one day appreciate and understand the history behind the Liberty and how important it was to that financial district, to that Liberty district, which was the hub of black people, the economic hub, particularly for black Columbus. And, you know, and then there are many families that have businesses down there that existed many years ago. They still own the property. And, you know, you have families grew up in those areas down there that can talk to you about the bottom, as they used to call it. I tell you, when I used to have Mr. Robert Anderson here, man, he is so full of knowledge about that entire area, about how it developed, how it grew, all the way down to the first voluntary black fire department that we had to have just to fight fires in the black community around the Liberty District. So there's a lot of history there. And Dr. Anderson recently had a press conference because there are some serious concerns right now with the Liberty. She didn't have the press conference from a perspective of finger pointing or calling anyone out or, you know, trying to make someone look bad. It was basically a press conference to inform the public of the state and condition of the Liberty, where we are, and what we need to do to move forward. Now, I'm going to tell you something else about Shay. She works in the Liberty, but Shay is also an amazing individual that does her part at supporting the community here in Columbus, Georgia. I've been fortunate to join her with the Robert Lamar Anderson Leadership Academy and speak to young boys here in the city at Baker Middle School every school term. We're out there talking with them. Other folks in the city like Justin Allen and other people have shown up, and they've shown support, and they've shared words and they've shared encouragement with those young boys to let them know that there are people out there that care about them, that want to see them be successful, want to give them other opportunities to be great. So, Dr. Anderson.
Yes.
My friend, how you doing today?
All right, and you?
I am doing just fine. Thank you so much for being here today. Mm-hmm. And thank you for coming and share with us. Of course, we're talking about the Liberty Theater, mm-hmm. and the significance of it. I said in my opening about some of the folks that have come and performed there historically that many folks in the city may not have known about. Can you just tell us about some of the people that came through the Liberty and performed?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Of course, Ma Rainey, Bessie Smith, Cab Calloway, Fletcher Henderson, all of the folks who would have been traveling and performing on the Chitlin' Circuit in the 20s, primarily in the 20s, but in the 20s and 30s.
Mm-hmm. Now, how old is that facility?
It first opened in 1924, and then it closed in the mid-70s after integration happened, and then it was reopened in 1996, in the mid-90s.
So it first opened in 1924. Why did it close after integration?
Well, it was opened in the 20s, and of course it was kind of a performing arts entertainment venue, and then it became largely a segregated movie theater for black folks at the time. And so it was the only place they could go on Saturdays to watch movies. That entire street was, you know, Liberty Heritage District, so there were black-owned restaurants, black-owned businesses, and then when integration happened, there wasn't as much of a need for it anymore, so of course it, you know, folks didn't come like they used to because they could go other places. So it declined, and ultimately it closed in the 70s.
You know, we have seen that pattern of the black culture and black economic powers and centers declining after integration. We see that in city after city, Jackson, Mississippi, Montgomery, Alabama, Birmingham, Alabama. There were parts of the city that was, I mean, just booming.
Mm-hmm.
But then after integration, those parts of the city began to deteriorate. Mm-hmm. Because one, as black people, we began to take our money and time and resources to other areas, and we forgot about the places that had been there for us when no one else would allow us to be there.
Right.
Why do you think it's important that we try to preserve the history of the Liberty?
Well, you know, I definitely think it's okay for, you know, for us to diversify and go other places, but, you know, preservation is also important. And that, I think, as a community, that particularly the black community, preservation is something that we've got to get back to. Additionally, the Liberty, you know, as you mentioned earlier, is one of only three historically African-American theaters in the state. And the other two are operational, but they don't operate as a, you know, historically African-American facility. Mm-hmm. So it's unique, and we need to make sure that we do what we can to preserve it and make sure that it's here for, you know, Lady Catherine and my daughter and future generations.
Absolutely. Now, I introduce you as Dr. Anderson. What is your PhD?
My PhD is in rhetoric and composition from Georgia State University.
What is that?
English is the short version for it. Mm-hmm. Rhetoric is about the art of speaking well, writing well. Also did composition theory, composition pedagogy, so I can teach people how to write. I can teach people how to teach people how to write. So, English.
Wow. Wow. Was there any historical aspect to that as well?
Yeah, a lot of it, a lot of the coursework focused on classical Greece, ancient rhetoric, like Aristotle, Socrates, people mm-hmm. like that. And then the other portion of my focus was African-American rhetoric, so looking at the black church and black comedy and things like that.
And, you know, some folks probably are already there, but let's make this connection, because the foundation of arts, writing, songs, poetry, is basically English. It's writing.
Mm-hmm.
It's being able to communicate, being mm-hmm. able to convey. It sounds like you are right where you need to be with your professional foundation at the Liberty, trying to preserve something, you know, of this magnitude, of this nature. I'm kind of losing the words to say here, because I'm like, you know, how do we say this? But we can't find a more perfect person to be there.
You know, and I'm laughing because you're right, but it was completely and totally not my plan at all. When I first kind of tumbled into the Liberty, I was teaching at Fort Valley State and mm-hmm. commuting to teach full-time at Fort Valley State and part-time here in Columbus at CSU at night, and got a call to come in temporarily and help out, and I said no. And I went anyway, and that was in 2013. So I just have to assume that, you know, it's where I'm supposed to be, at least for now.
Well, we're glad that you're there now. So as far as activity at the Liberty, for those that may want to utilize the facility for events and things of that nature, what are you capable of hosting or supporting right now?
Right now, our banquet room is available, so we are still hosting special events, weddings, wedding receptions, parties, retirement parties, things like that. We do have a theater, but the theater is currently not in use right now because it's in need of a pretty massive renovation right now. So our last show was December of 2016, and because of the problems there, that show was actually moved to Carver High School. So there hasn't been a show over there since 2016.
Which is part of the challenge, because you can't really keep a facility open and going if you can't use it for what it's supposed to be used for.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So what kind of issues do you have right now with the theater itself?
On the theater portion, and the theater portion of the building is on the National Register of Historic Places, but right now it needs a completely new roof, a completely new HVAC system, and then once those things happen, a sound system, complete new electrical system, and then, of course, lighting. It's just the tip of the iceberg.
So before we take a quick break, I'm sure there's someone out there who just heard that and is saying to themselves, well, you know, that probably going to sound pretty expensive. Why should we put that kind of money into it? Why should we put that money into it, Cheryl?
You know, because as we've been talking about, it's a historic facility. We want to make sure to preserve it for future generations. We want to make sure that it can still function and operate as a thriving, historically African-American facility. And even in spite of the challenges, we continue to serve the community through offering an affordable venue for folks to have their special events, through after-school programs, through our give-backs throughout the year. So super important.
And I tell you what's so special about that, Dr. Anderson. I remember when I went to the Lorraine Motel for the first time in Memphis, Tennessee, where Dr. Martin Luther King was assassinated. And they have preserved that motel pretty much to look just like it did the day that he was shot. Mm-hmm. And at first on the way over there, I was like, you know, okay, I'm going to go because I'm with the group. But I've seen the photos. I've seen what is there to see? What is there to do? But when I got there, I felt different about it. It touched me differently internally, you know, with my spirit and with my soul. And now Dr. King was more than just a Black History Month figure that I had learned about in school.
Right, right.
It brought to reality the gravity of his life and the fact that someone would go to those lengths to take him out.
Mm-hmm.
And I must say, the first time that I walked into the Liberty, and knowing the history and hearing the history and saying to myself, I am walking where my people walked when they couldn't walk nowhere else.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't depressing, Shay.
Right.
Because I can only imagine the good times that them folks had up
the
in
the parties,
Liberty. We ain't seen no party like the folks, the party that they had up in Liberty.
Right.
Probably spilled all out into the streets and everywhere else, but everybody was having a good time.
Right.
You know, they would leave there and go to the hole in the wall.
Right.
Smoke filled rooms, whiskey and chicken wings.
All of that.
All of that. You know what I'm saying? So somebody that's singing the rest of that song.
Uh-huh.
But you get where I'm coming from. So that's why it's important
that
we keep a facility like that. It's because we read about history. We see it in books. We see it on documentaries. But we're down to very little that we can actually walk in and say, my people did this. When their backs were against the wall, when they couldn't get assistance anywhere else, when you couldn't get a job because of the color of your skin, when they wouldn't even give you a mortgage for a house because of the color of your skin, when you couldn't sit in the front of the bus because of the color of your skin, you could go to the Liberty, enjoy a movie, no matter where you sat, who you sat with, and just had a good time. You didn't have to worry about the unnecessary pressures of the world.
Right. That's absolutely right.
You didn't have to worry about it. And that is so important. Let me get off my soapbox. We're going to take a quick break because I need to jump in real quick and allow the sponsors to say a few words. And before I change my sponsors, I got to give a shout out to Foxy 105 here at Davis Broadcasting for once again being listed the number one hip-hop radio station here in the West Central Georgia area. We love what we do here at Davis Broadcasting, and I invite everyone to continue to support our stations and listen to our radio programs. We're going to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. I'm here talking with Dr. Shay Anderson. You know, Shay, people oftentimes talk about history and they say the future is a little unpredictable, but I think there is something that we can say about the future that is going to be absolutely clear. 10, 15 years from now, when we got to go to somebody and hear about the history of the Liberty and what it went through and how it went through it, how we made it over,
right?
You know, through the valleys, back to the peak of the mountaintops. Dr. Shay Anderson will be there to deliver that message. And I think that that is so important and it's so critical.
Ooh, that would be amazing. Yeah,
it's going to be amazing because there's no way as a society we should be comfortable with allowing the Liberty to go away. Well, that's something we cannot tolerate. What else will we have here in Columbus that we can go to and look at and say, okay, this is where we were? You know,
right.
I understand, you know, Claflin is being revitalized and for a different purpose, you know, and things of that nature. And I'm extremely excited about that project.
Right.
But the Liberty is still serving its original purpose.
It is. It absolutely is.
And it's doing what it was originally created to do. Shay, what vision do you have for the Liberty? Where would you like to see the Liberty Theater 5, 10 years from now?
Well, you know, of course I'd like to see the Liberty District, the Liberty Heritage Historic District is what it is actually, thriving like it probably was back, you know, in the 20s all the way up through, you know, integration, not just black owned businesses, let me say that, but black owned businesses, restaurants, you know, an extension essentially of Uptown, you know, with where people, you know, they hang out in Phoenix City, then they go to Uptown for drinks and come to a show at the Liberty. You know, we just want it to connect because it sits in the middle of, you know, Uptown and Midtown, and it's just, you know, desolate. So first of all, seeing that connection happen, of course, seeing the Liberty renovated, expanded to include more event space, classroom space, you know, other spaces that can continue to serve the community and, you know, thriving, not in the struggle quite, you know, the way that we are now, but thriving and sustaining itself and not worried about, you know, if we'll be able to be open another day or another week or another year.
And thriving, when you say thriving, survival. Mm-hmm. And having a comfortable foundation for that survival.
Right, because there's a difference between surviving and thriving.
Right.
Surviving means you're existing, maybe, okay, barely. You're making ends meet. Thriving means you're doing well, you know, ends are meeting and exceeding each other. You're able to pay the bills and do the work that you need to do without being stressed about the day-to-day.
See, that's why you got the PhD in rhetoric and not me. Well, that is extremely key. What role do you see the community playing in helping the Liberty thrive?
Definitely continuing to do what they do by using the venue for special events. Getting memberships. We'd like to see more of the community, you know, get memberships.
Let's talk about memberships.
Mm-hmm.
So explain to me what a membership is.
Well, it's a relatively new thing that we rolled out, I guess, in February of this year. And with the National Trust for Historic Preservation recently launching what they call a This Place Matters campaign, which is really just a way for communities to bring awareness to places that matter, historic places. We thought that would be a good thing to attach to our membership initiative. So memberships start as low as, I think, $35. And there are individual levels and corporate levels. You know, and if you want to give less than 35, you want to give 5 or 10, every little bit helps. You know, we don't want people to feel uncomfortable because they can't give a certain amount because it all helps.
Is this an annual membership?
Yes, annual. It will be annual. So from whatever date you join, then it'll expire the following year on that same date. In terms of benefits, we aren't doing productions right now, so tickets aren't involved at this point. But there are some other benefits and as well as an invitation to our members' appreciation event that'll happen at the end of this year.
Okay. All right. And so as far as other membership benefits, you just get to let the world know that you are a member of the Liberty Theater.
Right. And the feeling of knowing you are keeping us going another day.
History.
Right. And a part of history. That's right. Mm-hmm.
That is so important. Mm-hmm. Now, Shay, your father has played a very, very instrumental role in the preservation of the Liberty. I've seen photos of him and Representative Calvin Smyre and Congressman Sanford Bishop and other city leaders doing a shoveling at the Liberty Theater, and that was many. Was that when they were building the conference room area?
Right. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What was the vision then? Have you ever talked to him about that?
I think the vision, to some extent, was to, you know, I think to see it doing the work that it's doing now, and then, of course, to see the Liberty, the entire district, thriving again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it was a part of those gentlemen's initiative, and, you know, they were absolutely the key factors in getting that, you know, that portion of the building added, and they continue to be very powerful forces and, you know, in keeping us going and, you know, helping us do the work that we do now.
So if someone has a question about the membership, how can they reach you guys to talk about the membership?
They can visit the website, libertycolumbusga.org, and click the membership tab, or they can give us a call at the office, 706-653-7566.
Say that for me one more time, a little bit slower.
706-653-7566, and of course, find us on Facebook as well.
Wow. Okay. All right. Now, I just want to shift gears just a little bit, because, you know, the heart of the Liberty is entertainment and arts, and we have a very strong entertainment and arts community here in Columbus. We have a lot of young, inspiring rappers, a lot of young and inspiring singers. We have some amazing poets like Pariah and other people of that nature. We have some phenomenal, amazing, extremely talented dancers that have danced on a national stage, like my frat brother Chris, and you know, and then you got your all around performers like Ishmael and people like that that have really been surrounded by the Liberty. So there's no doubt, once we get things where we need it to be, there will be a culture here to support what we're trying to do at the Liberty. Talk to us a little bit about that culture here in the city, so that when we get to the point where we need to be, folks will know what to expect from their own neighbors and families and friends.
Well, there's some amazing talent here, like you said, here in the city. And particularly at the Liberty, you know, when we do casting calls for shows, there are not any special requirements. Those guys pretty much take anybody who walks in and find a place for them. And those young men have been particularly instrumental on the artistic side of things with shows, musical direction, things of that nature. And, of course, they did wonderful work and increased their visibility even more, and they went on to be in Dreamgirls and Newsies and other great shows at the Springer, and have since moved on to one is actually a theater professor at Albany State, another one is teaching high school theater, assistant band director in Macon. So just some amazing talent. Hopefully, you know, the Liberty can get on its feet and bring them back to Columbus and capture that talent. But Columbus is definitely a city full of talent. You know, you can hear good live music any night of the week. You can catch shows at, you know, the River Center or the Springer or, you know, the theaters at CSU. So,
But we want you to come catch the show at the Liberty.
Absolutely.
And that's what we want to get back to.
Right.
I could just envision now a concert of HBCU choirs.
Mm-hmm.
Because that concert chorale we had at Albany State. And then, you know, then Rice comes to town once a year. Mm-hmm. I think they still come.
Spelman,
and Tuskegee and Fort Valley. You know, we have enough HBCU alumni that understands the importance of historical preservation. Because this is a fight we've been having a long time for HBCUs.
Definitely.
I just had Representative Cavasmari on here last week talking about the Senate bill to combine HBCUs and how he was fighting that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And yes, I am going to akin fighting for the Liberty to like fighting for our HBCUs, because in my opinion, they both cultivated and evolved from the same evilness that was trying to block our folks to where we had, when we had to defend and fight for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You think that's fair?
Well, no, you know, and I feel what you're saying, because I'm a graduate of Bennett College, which is one of only two historically black colleges for women in the nation. And, you know,
Nicole was over there at one point.
Oh, man, she turned it around. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, if you've been paying attention, Bennett has, you know, had some heavy challenges right up there with the Liberty. So, you know, it's not fair, but I just think as alumni and as, you know, a community as far as the Liberty is concerned, we just got to do our part and step up and not necessarily rely on anybody else to preserve our history. We got to do it.
And we shouldn't be ashamed to embrace our history.
Right.
We shouldn't be ashamed to say, yeah, we want to keep this black theater. I know there are other options here in the city, and mm-hmm. that's fine, well, and dandy. Mm-hmm. But I want to go to something that my folks started.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We shouldn't be ashamed to say that. But it just seems like sometimes we have difficulty having conversations when folks start using black, the word black and the word white. Folks start, you know, shooing away. Ooh, I don't want to talk about that. Why not?
You know, I don't know. And the thing about the Liberty, I don't know if you came to the Uptown concert that was held in the Liberty District a couple years back, but it was amazing. 3,000 mm-hmm. people from all walks of life.
Yeah.
And that, you know, and that's what I see for the Liberty, that ultimately it's going, left to my own devices, always operate as a historically black theater, because that's what it is. We're going to serve black people and we're going to do that work, but ultimately we want to serve the entire community.
We're not going to discriminate against nobody.
Yeah, no.
But we're not going to run away from our culture. And honestly, I when I went and visited the new Civil Rights Museum over in Montgomery, the Rosa Parks Museum, the museum they have downtown, and the big display on the outside of town with the lynching signs and stuff that hang, I saw people of different races, different mm-hmm. cultures, different mm-hmm. ethnicities, folks from Germany, folks from Spain, folks from Africa, folks from Australia. People want to know the history.
Mm-hmm.
And how can we share that with them if we're going to be shamed out of talking about it, or even put in a position where we even afraid to address it? Some folks are interested in African-American history because there's not another race of folks that you can talk about on this earth that went through what African Americans went through in America with no help to get out of that situation, and have managed to create a society where we've even produced the first black president.
Right.
To me, that is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. It is.
We're still talking about reparations, and, you know, and it's a hot topic. Nobody gave any assistance to us.
Right. That's true.
But look what we are. Look what we're doing. We're educated now. You know, we're business owners. We're billionaires. We're paying off whole class tuitions for folks graduating at Morehouse College. That is unbelievable.
It is.
And if we sit on our hands and be quiet and not make noise about the things that matter to us most, we won't get anything. Right. It's the squeaky wheel that gets the oil.
That's true.
So, Shay, be the squeaky wheel.
I'm trying. And, you know, like you said,
it's... I bet you felt like, what is wrong with
Tim? Right, crook.
Set it off.
But you're right. It's about preservation, of course, and preserving the culture, but making that accessible to everybody, you know. It needs to be a destination for field trips and, yes, you know, kids from other states and folks from other countries that, who come here just to see the Liberty and the Ma Rainey House, you know. So
can you imagine a black tour that started in Atlanta with the King Center and Auburn Avenue and swung down through Columbus and hit Liberty District and the Liberty Theater for a local performance and then ended up in Montgomery over there with what they have going on?
Mm-hmm. And what?
My God.
Right. And the other part of that is when they come to the Liberty, we want them to be able to walk out and maybe go to a black-owned bookstore and a restaurant or a bar or go over to this boutique and get some clothes. You know, we want
them
to be able to...
economic development. Right. That's right up the city's alley. Mm-hmm. That should be what we want. Mm-hmm. That's why we put millions into flood abatement along 6th mm-hmm. Avenue in the Liberty District. That's why the city is constantly putting money over there mm-hmm. to work in that particular... That's what we want.
And I think they're doing an awesome job of working to make that happen and get it to, you know, where I think we'd all like to see it.
Absolutely. And, you know, and shout out to folks like Lula and Bruce Huff, who family owned land over there, that's making sure that vision stay alive. And, you know, the city manager, Isaiah Hughley, and the work mm-hmm. he's doing. And again, Mimi Wilson and Representative Calvin Smyre and Congressman Sanford Bishop and all those that are very involved. And I know we got to go, Shay, and I'm going to give you one last word, but I just want to say to our listeners, if you are not aware, the city actually has a plan for the Liberty District that a committee is currently working on to revise it. That last plan was worked on, and I'm naming the folks that were actually on the committee, Carolyn Hughley, Calvin Smyre, Sanford Bishop, our city council members, Mimi Woodson, Evelyn Turner Pugh, all of the city council members were there, just those three on the state level, and of course, Congressman Bishop on the federal level. And it's an amazing plan that we're now updating to come and to bring it to terms to where we are now, because next year is 2020.
It is. Mm-hmm.
And I know sometimes in our head, we still think we're back in, and you know, getting down for 99 in 2000.
Right.
But we ain't doing that no more.
No, we're not.
We are 20 years from that point.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We got to start thinking about the future.
We do.
We got to start thinking about how we move to the next level. Who gets to carry what bucket of water? Because these buckets of water got to be handed off.
Right. They do. Mm-hmm.
And we can't wait till it's too late to do it.
No, we can't. We definitely cannot.
And that's why I'm so appreciative of you, Shay, for what you are doing and the hard work that you're putting in, because you are saying to the city, I'm willing to carry this bucket, mm-hmm. but y'all got to help me.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Y'all, we got to help Dr. Anderson. We got to help Dr. Shay Anderson, because we cannot afford, again, to lose the Liberty Theater. I'm sorry I got so crunk on you today,
no,
Shay.
That's okay.
I do apologize.
It's important. But
leave us with some last words of encouragement. Use that PhD in rhetoric, of rhetorical, whatever you say, to tell us something special.
Well, you know, I just, as we move forward, I just want us to remember that the Liberty belongs to the community. First and foremost, it does not belong to any one person. The community owns it. It's ultimately the community's responsibility to preserve it and make sure that it's here for our children, for our children's children, from all walks of life, for mm-hmm. all races. The Liberty is something that everybody needs to experience. And so we just want to ask that the community help us do that by, you know, responding when we put out the call for volunteers at Thanksgiving or for guests to come to the after school program. And of course, to support via memberships and donations, primarily.
Well, that's it. You guys just heard there from Dr. Shay Anderson. I want to thank her right hand for being here with us, even though we couldn't get her to say nothing. Carla got married. Y'all, what's your new last name?
Pyatt.
Carla Pyatt. Mm-hmm. Carla Pyatt. What's your main name?
Goodman.
Carla Goodman Pyatt is in the building with us. And Carla, we appreciate what you do at the Liberty as well.
Definitely.
I honestly know. I know you keeping Shay sane.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because she called me sometimes and we have those conversations. And I'd be like, Shay, I need to give you about 15 more minutes, but I got to go.
Right.
But I appreciate you, Shay. Thank you so much for what you're doing. Thank you, Carla.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for having us.
We're going to have you on here more often, because we got to make sure that we get this message out. And this is about making sure that we preserve our history.
Yes.
The folks that
that died and bled for us, the things that they work for, make sure we have that so our children will see that history and not just read about it, not just be told about it by a teacher that don't even look like them,
right,
but actually can walk into a facility and see history itself. They can have that experience in their spirit and in their soul that I had when I walked into the Lorraine Motel in Memphis, Tennessee. So thank you again, Dr. Anderson.
Thank
this has
you.
Been Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. You don't want to miss us next Sunday. We're going to have another exciting show. And I promise you guys, I'm going to keep you updated on this Liberty Progress, because we got to stay up and out front on this. We need to make this a city project. We need to make this a city priority. We need to make this a community priority to make sure that we get this done and save this facility. Thank you again for listening, and have a great week. Opinions stated by various contributors to this broadcast, its website, and its radio programs are not to be considered necessarily the beliefs of this radio station or Davis Broadcasting. Do you have questions or concerns or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversation? Come and join me, Teddy Reese. Send me an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.